It's time to kick anxiety to the curb. Release it all with a night of girl talk and encouragement. Join us for a Love Life Girls Night In with Joyce, a live streaming event featuring worship with Katie and Brian Torwalt, a lively talk it out discussion with guest Love McPherson, and Joyce teaching us to tackle anxiety head on.
If you wake up in the morning and the first thing you start hearing is everything that you did wrong yesterday, it's not God.
Friday, January 27th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Register today at joycemeyer.org/livestream.
This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
You didn't get your life in a mess by doing one thing wrong one time. And it's not going to get straightened out because you do one thing right one time. And today I want to talk to you about the parable of the sower that is so important in the Word of God, because really it's a parable about four different kinds of, the Bible says soil, but it's really talking about four different kinds of hearts, four different conditions of the heart, and how those different hearts hear or don't hear the Word of God. Now listen to what I'm going to say. Know the Word and take action on what you hear. Hearing it and not doing it is pretty much useless. The only thing, if you just know a bunch of stuff but you don't act on it, then you just usually become proud of what all you know and want to tell everybody else what to do. But if you're not doing it yourself, it's not going to change your life. It's not just hearing. It's not just underlining in your Bible. It's doing what you hear. Interesting thing about this parable is Jesus told his disciples, if you don't understand this parable, you will not be able to understand any of the parables. Wow, what a statement. If you do not understand this parable, you will not understand any of the parables. And then he also says in Mark 4:24, and this is very important to hear, the measure of thought and study that you give to the truth that you hear is the measure of virtue and knowledge that will come back to you. Let me say it again. The measure of thought and study, thought and study, that you give to the truth that you hear is the measure of virtue, which is another word for power, and knowledge that will come back to you. I'm doing my part. But now if you don't do your part, you might have had a nice time, but I want you to have more than a good time. I don't want you to ever be sorry that you invested this time. I mean, I want you a year from now to be able to remember something changed in my life a year ago when I went to that conference. God is talking to us and showing us things all the time. And we're talking in this conference about making a greater commitment. And so let's let one of our goals be to make a commitment to listen to what God says. Come on. God is trying to give you answers that will keep you out of trouble. And he's not going to change his mind. It doesn't do any good to ignore him, hoping that he'll come up with an easier answer the next time. Because he won't. And I know any person sitting in this room, because God is no respecter of persons, and the Word works for everybody, whosoever will. Any person that will learn the Word, I mean study that Word and get it down on the inside of you where it's not just information, but it becomes revelation, and you will act on what it says repeatedly, not just one time to see if it works. You didn't get your life in a mess by doing one thing wrong one time. And it's not going to get straightened out because you do one thing right one time. You get committed to it, and you do what God says over and over. Nobody can do that and come back and tell me that God did not change your life. So I guess I'm putting a little bit of responsibility on you today to say it. Your victory is not up to those of us who labor and study to bring you the word. It's up to what you do with what you hear. Amen? All right. The parable of the sower. Mark 4, 1 through 9. Again, Jesus began to teach them by the lake. And the crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables. Now, a parable is a story that makes a point. And in his teaching, he said, listen. I like that he started with that. Listen, exclamation mark. A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still others fell on good soil, and it came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times as much as was sown. Then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. It's kind of interesting, some of the little one-liners that he throws in there that we just probably never even give much thought to that. Let him who has ears to hear, hear. And so really what he's saying is, okay, now I'm saying something that's for everybody. He starts out by saying, listen. And then he's saying, if you have ears, obedient ears. In one place, the Bible talks about having a circumcised ear. You know, I can say the same thing and different people can hear it differently depending on the condition of their heart. And some people won't hear it at all. It's something they don't like, so they just right away throw it out before it ever gets a chance to do anything. Now, in our world today of supermarkets and machinery-operated farming, we might not immediately relate to this parable of the sower, because Jesus used examples that were relative to the culture that he lived in. It's a parable drawn from the farming community of Jesus' day. But his hearers would have immediately recognized the scene and related to the message Jesus was bringing. Everybody then made a living by farming except the very, very wealthy. So we know that you never get any kind of a harvest unless first a seed is planted. Amen. As long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. You plant your seed in the ground, then there's always time, and then eventually there is a harvest. Well, the sower who is sowing is the Holy Spirit. Now, he's using my mouth today, but it's the Holy Spirit sowing the seed of God's word into your life. The seed that I'm putting out today is perfect. It's a healthy seed. It's a great seed. So there's nothing wrong with the seed. If you don't get anything out of this, it's not because of the seed. It's the condition of your heart and how you hear. Four types of soil, four types of hearts. The first was hard soil. It was so hard that when the sower, he was basically just like he had a bag around his neck and it was full of seed and he's just like throwing it out there. And that's really kind of what I'm doing today. I'm just like throwing it out there. Some seed fell on thin rocky soil, some fell among thorns, others fell on good soil. He didn't give any further explanation right at that moment to the crowd, but later Jesus took his disciples aside and he told them, if you cannot understand this parable, you will not be able to understand any of the parables. So let me try to break this down and see why Jesus said that. First of all, people didn't understand why Jesus came. They didn't get it. He came to bring a revolution. And a revolution kind of means that things get turned upside down and somebody comes in and starts doing stuff that nobody's ever seen before and it's going to bring big changes. People misunderstood the type of revolution he was bringing. They wanted and expected him to rise up against unjust government and set up an earthly throne for himself and rule the world. His disciples really thought that he was going to set up a throne somewhere and they were going to get to be his important guys. And he was just going to give orders and make everything right. Jesus announced from the beginning of his sermon, of his ministry, the kingdom of God is here. He was introducing a very different kind of kingdom though. And it's a kingdom that we live in the midst of the world that we live in, which is a type of a kingdom. We, the believers in Jesus Christ, we live in another kingdom that's kind of like a secret kingdom that nobody can understand unless they are a believer. We get it, but the world doesn't get it.
Opening a package is always exciting, especially one that's filled with today's offer. You'll receive step-by-step how to study God's Word, along with the Everyday Life Psalms and Proverbs. Whether you've been reading the Bible for years or you're brand new to it all, it's always the right time to learn how to dive deep into God's Word and truly study it. This booklet teaches you how to prepare, apply, and live out God's Word with Joyce's practical teaching. It also contains these beautiful scripture cards that you can use to memorize the Word and keep it in your heart. Both the booklet and the scripture cards are also available digitally. The Everyday Life Psalms and Proverbs is beautifully bound and includes new insights and commentary from Joyce that will inspire you and empower you to change your thoughts and your life. Both resources are available for your gift of $25 or more. Use the Joyce Meyer Ministries app or go to joycemeyer.org or call us at 1-800-709-2895.
It's a new year and time to kick anxiety out into the cold and snuggle in for a night of girl talk and encouragement. Join us for a Love Life Girls Night In with Joyce, a live streaming event featuring worship with Katie and Brian Torwalt, a lively talk it out discussion with guest Love McPherson, and Joyce teaching us how to tackle anxiety head on. Friday, January 27th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Call your girlfriends and register today at joycemeyer.org/livestream. Joyce, I love when I can sit down with a friend and talk about what's really on my heart, the hard stuff to talk about, the serious stuff, and I think we all need that. So today on Candid Conversations, we're going to talk about suffering.
Wow.
I know it's a big conversation, but when you are suffering, there's something in us that needs to know that someone hears us.
Right. Yeah.
So whether it's we're suffering ourselves or we're watching someone we love suffer.
Right.
It's just so difficult. So I thought maybe we could talk today about what it feels like and how we've experienced it and how to get through with God's help.
Well, first of all, there's a lot of different kinds of suffering. So let's just get one out of the way, which is physical suffering, where you're just sick, you're in pain, you're hurting. And I think, because I've gone through some of that, I think when you're sick, I think it's a lonely time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people really don't understand what you're going through. It's like everybody else is having a good time and laughing, and it's like they care about you. You know, it's, oh, that's too bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'll pray for you, or, you know, but it's, I just feel sometimes it's lonely. It's like, especially if it's a long-term thing, you know, where you've been going through something for a long time.
That's a good way to describe it.
Yeah, and it's not anything to get angry at somebody else about. I mean, they can't help it. But when you do suffer yourself, one of the benefits that can come out of it is it does really give you compassion for other people that are hurting. And at least for me, it enables me to pray for them with a genuine, sincere prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And as Christians, we really need to pay attention to what's going on around us, and we need to pray for people that are hurting. That's one of the ministries that we all have as believers in Christ, is the ministry of reconciliation, which is helping restore people to Christ, and the ministry of intercession. God wants us to pray for people. But the big question that everybody has, which is, I guess, what we want to discuss today, is why? Why is this happening to me? Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, I think sometimes instead of asking God why so often, these are just things I've learned over my 45 mm-hmm. years, is every time you're tempted to say why, instead just say, God, I don't know why, I know you do, but I'm trusting you. I like to pray like this. If there's something I need to see,
mm-hmm.
if I've opened a door for the enemy, then I'm asking you to show it to me. If not, then I pray that you'll either get me out of this or get me through it.
Yeah.
And I believe, and I really do believe this, that you will take this and work it out for good.
Yeah.
So it's really important when you're suffering that you watch your attitude, that you don't feeling sorry for yourself or...
That's such a hard one.
I know.
It's really hard.
I know. But honestly, even when you're suffering, if you really, your perspective is everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's how you look at it. And, you know, first of all, you're not the only one going through stuff. There's always somebody that's going through something more difficult than you are. And secondly, all of us have more blessings than we do problems. I mean, I know some people are saying, but see, we...
That's that perspective.
We focus on the problem and we let it become bigger than everything else, and sometimes even bigger than God. And, you know, we need to make God a little bigger in our eyes and realize that there is not a problem that he can't solve. Now, you know, there's a lot of good scriptures on suffering. It says there's suffering for righteousness' sake. You know, first of all, I mean, if you try to serve God, the devil doesn't like it. And he's going to try to make it look to you like it's not doing you any good. As a matter of fact, he may try to make it look like I didn't have these kind of problems when I wasn't trying mm-hmm. to serve God. And that may well be true. You have to be ready to stand your ground. 1 Peter 3:14 says, but even in case you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed, happy, and to be envied. Mm-hmm.
To be envied.
Yeah. Why are you blessed if you're suffering for righteousness'
sake? Right. How does that work?
You're sharing the sufferings of Christ.
Yeah.
When you do that, he didn't do anything wrong, and yet he suffered terribly.
And I always think, I don't know what the future holds, because those blessings are a promise from God.
Right.
They're around the corner. I'm not seeing them yet.
Yeah.
But that's where trust comes in.
Yeah, and when we're suffering, especially if you're going through something unjust...
Mm-hmm.
If you will, I always say, suffer God's way.
What's that look like?
Well, you know, it's keeping that good attitude. I think one of the most important things to do when you're hurting yourself is to do good things for other people.
Yeah. I love to, because I have not always suffered well. Believe me, I can suffer badly.
Yeah.
But I've learned so much through my years, and I have learn to turn those why questions into what questions.
Yeah.
Instead of the why, it's, okay, what? What do you want me to do now?
Right.
What do you want me to see? What do you want me to learn? What do you want me to do for somebody else?
Right. And, you know, sometimes it's just keep a good attitude and stand firm.
Yeah.
We live our life forward, but we understand it backward. So some of the things that you don't understand, you may understand, but there may be things that you'll never understand.
That's true. We never don't get understand. All the answers.
And so what do I do? What should I do? Keep a good attitude. Keep loving Jesus. Keep being good to other people. Make up your mind that you're not going to quit and you're not going to give up, and you will outlast the devil. Mm. And there will be a blessing on the other side of it.
Can I tell you a recent experience that our family went through with suffering? My husband's brother, my brother-in-law, who we just adored, went through leukemia, went through cancer, and he suffered so much.
Yeah.
And it was so hard to see. And I remember after we lost him, after he went to be with the Lord, and his family's still suffering. You know, it's just hard for everyone who loves him and misses him so much. And I remember just praying and say, God, just show me something that will give me encouragement and hope even through this terrible circumstance. Mm-hmm. And I said, When Mark was suffering so much, you know, why didn't you heal him? Mm-hmm. And that's when I kind of turned that around and said, God, what do you want me to see instead? Right. And he said, of course, as we all know, I did heal him. I brought him home.
Right.
But I felt in my spirit so strongly that God was saying, I also showed mercy because he took him sooner than he could have.
Yeah.
So I was able to see something that God was doing. And then it's like once you get a door cracked open and you begin to see some light, I began to see other things that God did in the circumstances. The way that Mark was such a light to other people in the hospital, the doctors, the nurses. So you begin to see the little things. It doesn't mean I like what happened, but you begin to see those little things that God is saying, let me show you how I am loving you through this. And it doesn't take the suffering away.
No.
But it makes a difference in how we see it.
It makes a big difference. And what you're talking about is just exactly what I'm talking about, what we're trying to get across to the people is instead of looking at just what's wrong.
Yeah.
Look at what's right and trust God. Now, I know the question is still there why some people give up on God because they just don't understand a lot of people that don't believe in God, that's their big reason. Well, if there was a God, he wouldn't let this happen. He wouldn't let that happen. Well, first of all, God's not the one doing all that stuff. The devil is. And there's just sin in the world. Mm-hmm. And with sin comes disease and a lot of mean people. And, you know, my dad sexually abused me. And so it wasn't because I sinned, but I suffered because of his sin.
Mm-hmm.
And we suffer a lot of times because of other people's sin. But the key is God will make it up to us. I love Isaiah 61:7, that God will bring a twofold recompense, and that word means reward, when we have suffered unjustly because he is a God of justice.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things about God's character that I love, but my favorite is that he is a God of justice. And, you know, we also, according to 1 Peter 4, we suffer in the flesh, and that's about, it's about dying to self, and maturing, and, you know, even when you, let's say, for example, when you've had an argument with your spouse and you just are positive that he's wrong, of course he's wrong, he should come and apologize to me, and he's just not doing it, and God is, he tells me all the time, make peace, you got to keep peace. And so just to swallow that pride and go make peace, wow. I mean, you suffer in the flesh. But listen to this scripture, 1 Peter 4:1-2. So since Christ suffered in the flesh for us and for you, arm yourselves with the same thought. So it's the way you're going to look at this. And purpose. My purpose is to obey God no matter what. Patiently to suffer rather than fail to please God. Mm. For whoever has suffered in the flesh, having the mind of Christ, and I love this, is done with intentional sin, has stopped pleasing himself and the world, and now pleases God, so that he can no longer spend the rest of his natural life living by his human appetites and desires, but he lives for what God wills. Mm. So what's one of the main reasons why people don't obey God? Because they don't want to suffer.
Yeah.
That's the big thing that keeps people from maturing and growing up. And, you know, when we serve God, I was just thinking this morning, it's like, we should not enter a relationship with God just so he can help us with our problems and give us everything we want. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to love God to want to serve him.
Right.
And our heart's cry every day needs to be, what can I do for you today?
Yeah.
And so, to be honest, Ginger, there is so much to this. I mean, I've got pages and pages and pages of stuff here, but
I think we've encouraged some people, yeah, and I pray that they're beginning to see the fact that God's plan for us, even in our suffering, he can bring good out of that.
Right. And also, let me just repeat again, don't try so hard to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, God is a mystery. Just know that he's good. No matter what is going on in the world, God is still good.
I wasn't prepared for how intense the storm was going to be. It was honestly frightening. You're sitting in your home. I think we sat in the eye wall of the storm, our area, for about 6.5 hours. So you're talking about 100-plus-mile-an-hour winds just relentlessly blowing for 6.5 hours. And I'm just sitting there feeling overwhelmed. Like, how in the world are we going to respond to this? What are we going to do? You know, you're hearing the devastation outside. And it was in that moment that I got a text message from someone with Joyce Meyer Ministry and Hand of Hope asking us what we needed. The gift we received was one of the largest, most significant offerings our church has ever received. At the time, we needed it the most. Not only did Joyce Meyer Ministry and Hand of Hope send financial resources, but it was such a providential, incredible moment. The moment the truck showed up with blessing buckets and water and all the resources that we were able to distribute, ultimately, we were able to serve well over 15,000 people in our community, providing them essential resources. Think of a family in our church, an amazing, amazing family. He's a police officer, and he was on duty because when there's a hurricane out, all of the police officers are called in, so he wasn't able to be with his family. The mom is riding out the storm with two babies, a three-year-old and a baby, and they start losing their home.
It was pretty traumatic, pretty scary, and then we rode that out all night long. Just being able to provide money for the insurance deductible, helping us get back on our feet with buying new furniture, buying essential needs, gift cards, all of that, being able to kind of help us rebuild our life. We just really can't thank you guys enough for all that you've done, not even just for us, but the other families that were blessed because of this has made a huge impact, not only on our family, but this whole community.
We hope you have enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.